Years ago, the American writer J.D. Salinger wrote about consecrated chicken soup in his book, Franny and Zoe. Franny is in the middle of a meltdown and has been on the couch for days. Bessie, her mom, has been making her chicken soup, which Franny hasn't been eating. Zoe, her brother, finally says to Franny, "I'll tell you one thing, Franny, one thing I know, and don't get upset. You ought to know right now that you're missing out on every single religious action that's going on around this house. You don't even have enough sense to drink when somebody brings you a cup of consecrated chicken soup, which is the only kind of chicken soup Bessie ever brings to anybody around this madhouse." Odd as those words may sound, it's a very good intro to the feast that we celebrate today, the feast of the body and blood of Christ. You know, consecrated is one of those words we don't hear all that often anymore, at least not outside of a church. It's an old word, going all the way back to the Hebrews in the desert. We find it in the book of Exodus when the Lord God talks about setting apart the Hebrews to be his own from the other nations. We find right there the real meaning of consecrate. It means to set apart, to draw a distinction. In time, the word translates into holy, which means much the same thing. Something or somebody holy is set apart, separate from that which is not holy. When the Israelites built their temple to God, they made sure that the architecture expressed that same idea. So the Holy of Holies was the innermost sanctuary of the temple. It was set apart from the rest of the structure and could be entered only by the high priest, and only one time a year. And when the high priest entered this consecrated area, a rope was tied to one of his feet just in case he was struck down by the divine presence and had to be pulled out of the Holy of Holies by attendants on the other side of the wall. We find other things that were consecrated or set apart for God, such as the firstborn, or the first fruits, or the first portions of grain. We don't talk about consecrated all that much anymore, but once upon a time, it was a very powerful word. Today, we talk about the bread on the altar as consecrated. In other words, there is something special about the bread that is placed on the table in our sanctuary. It isn't just any other bread, but it is set apart, special, yes, holy, because it belongs to God. We hear in the gospel today when the Lord Jesus has his last meal with his followers before his death. As we heard, it is the feast of the Passover, a time already set apart for the Jews, because it is when God called them to be his people and he would be their God. As Jesus and his followers recall this great event in history, we find Jesus taking bread, saying a blessing, breaking it, and giving it to his followers, with these words, "Take it, this is my body." So we see the Lord consecrated the bread on the table. He singled it out as different, as apart, because it is now to become his body that those who believe in him will share in the future as they gather as a community. A contemporary writer shared her experience of receiving communion one time. She writes, "It's dangerous when you open your hands. You don't know what will end up in them. She says, I think it may have been the smartest thing that Jesus ever did. He must have thought, how can I get them to step into the unknown? How can I get them to be open to receive a surprise? I know. I'll figure out a way for them to put their hands in front of them empty. She might be right. And that's what we do when we come together. We open our empty hands to receive bread consecrated by the Lord, made holy, set apart, and given to us to eat. But we don't really want to stop there. That's just the more obvious consecration. The other consecration is supposed to happen to us after we have eaten the bread set apart by Jesus for us. Yes, we become consecrated, holy, different from the ordinary, because we have taken into our bodies the body of Christ. Henry Nouwen once told of an experience he had when a student came into his office. The student said that he didn't have anything in particular to ask him or to say to him. I just want to be silent with you. Nouwen said they sat in silence for a while, and then the student said, whenever I am in your presence, it is as if I am in the presence of Christ. Nouwen thought for a moment, and he answered him, it is the Christ in you that sees the Christ in me. We find in a simple exchange evidence of the consecration that is supposed to occur in each one of us who partakes of the bread that we share at this table. As we feed upon Christ, we become Christ for others. We become nourishment for others. We become bread for the world to eat. This is probably something we don't think about all that often, but still, it's an essential component of the multi-layered consecrations that occur at the Eucharistic table. Once we have opened our hands to receive the Eucharist and we have voiced our Amen and we have taken into our bodies the body of Christ, we are consecrated to be the living and the breathing presence of Christ in this world. We are set apart for this holy task. So this feast in honor of the body and the blood of Christ reminds us of the transformation of the bread and wine. But it also invites us to allow ourselves to be consecrated. As Augustine once said, receive what you are and become what you receive.